I also want to say good morning to each of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again. Brother Randy has asked that we read from John 16, verses 19 to 33. This morning I was thinking about Love Feast and Love Feast proper. What we do at Love Feast, we exalt what Christ has done for us. We magnify his name together. We think about his sacrifice and what it means to us and how it affects the body of Christ, how we treat each other, and we do it corporately. But I also was thinking, you know, wow, this is something we should think about every day, every week, what we learn today, what we think about today. We should magnify him. We should exalt him. We should lift up his name. We should live like his life, he lived. That should be an everyday event. I'm going to read from John 16, verses 19 to 33. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.
Again, this morning I want to bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be here. Maybe just a bit of an introduction. About 23 years ago, I took an interest at Pleasant Hill here and visited here from the time. Found a young lady that I decided to ask to be my wife, Eunice, the daughter of John and Lois. And the Lord has taken us on some journeys, some travels to the south, back to Pennsylvania, and then up to Maine about 14 years ago. Since then, we have not had much privilege to be back here. But if you don't know me, that's okay. You probably, some of you older ones would know at least my wife. And but I do count it a blessing to be here this morning and to be able to serve among you and be able to worship the Lord together. One of the things that Eunice and I enjoy doing is camping. And this time of the year is our special time there in Maine when the leaves are at their peak, the tourists are gone, the bugs are gone, and it's just a beautiful time of the year. Some years ago, we were at Acadia National Park, and we were at a campsite near there, and there was a pickup truck parked next to us, and he had a bumper sticker on that said, There is no peace, therefore there is no God. It was a statement saying that because the world is in turmoil, is evidence that there is no God that's ruling and reigning over the world. It reveals that people believe that the absence of peace means there is no God. We as believers know that it's not true. We believe in a God who rules and reigns over the world, who has control even in the midst of unrest. But do we ever wonder, is God at work in our midst when there's turmoil in our lives? There's some questions that we have to ponder sometimes. This message was probably a result of a message we heard last year on Christmas Eve. We were attending a Christmas Eve service at a local church there in town, and there was a missionary from South Africa. His name was Tiny Tim. He was about 6 foot six and towered over me, and his name was Tiny Tim, and his father was Small Paul, and he was bigger yet. But anyway, it's not about him. He shared this story. He quoted the passage from Luke 2, 13 and 14, which says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" He went on to say this: if for 2,000 years now, there has been no peace on earth. Currently, he said there's around 12 wars going on globally. Something we don't hear much about in the news, but if you did a search and checked into the different nations and different things that are going on, there is unrest about everywhere you turn. He would only say that there must be another meaning to peace on earth. And so this morning we want to look at the topic, and I've entitled this message, "Peace, Is It an Illusion?" Looked at me thinking in your mind of a little bit of a mirage when you're you've heard those stories of people walking through the desert where they're thirsty, they're dry, and up ahead they see what they think is water and they long for that, but they get closer and realize it was just a mirage, it was just an appearance of water. Sometimes we're looking for peace in our lives. We have this inward desire. It's a God-given desire that we have to have peace, to have rest, to be free of conflict, to be free of turmoil in our lives. And we long for that. Turmoil creates anxious thoughts. It keeps us on edge. Think about times where if the church is in unrest, that there's a conflict that's happening, ensuing, and in the midst of us, when we enter into council meeting, we come with anxiety, with fears. It's something that we do not desire, something that we don't enjoy. I remember a social studies class in high school. It was a number of years ago now. But the teacher in that one particular class really liked Russia. And it seemed like we studied a lot about Russia. And looking back on that, I believe it was also he liked socialism. And he was a proponent of that and pushing that idea. One of the assignments that we had, I remember, was we were to write a paper describing what a utopia would look like. He wanted us to develop in our mind what a utopia would look like. That would be a place of perfect harmony. If I remember right, I'm not sure if I actually wrote anything or if I just made it short and to the point and said, with sin, it is impossible. We live in a sin-sick world. Even in the midst of church sometimes, there are times where sin still has its way. And it does not bring peace. It brings turmoil. It brings disharmony in our lives. So a utopia was not going to happen in a world sense, and at times it is not happening near at home either. We know there are peace movements that are happening around the world, talks of peace agreements. There's efforts to unite people. Right now with the war at Israel, the governments are working to try to bring a peace agreement between the two nations, between the nations there in the Middle East. And we realize that sometimes those peace efforts are futile, and the conflict continues to go on. Each side has their reason as to why they must defend themselves or why they must attack and continue to escalate the wars. There's political unrest. We see a time in our nation where it seems like unrest is at a high level right now. We know that peace is an inward desire, but the world offers no hope. When we look into the world for peace, we find there's little hope at all, or no hope. Jeremiah 8:15 says, "We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble." Matthew 10:34, Jesus says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." He goes on to say that the difficulty will come with those closest to you. Sometimes, as when we follow Christ, it causes a lot of unrest to those around us. But Jesus went on to say that he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Part of taking up the cross and following Christ is going to mean that we will face tribulation and trials in the world around us. This passage of scripture that Brother Ray read this morning, the verse 33, is what I wanted to focus on and think about. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." As we think about, we will have tribulation in the world and the community around us, I'd like you to think here this morning also, what about in our families, in our churches? Are we going to find peace there? Will it all always be in harmony? Is perfect harmony possible in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, extended families, and then even in the church body of believers? Maybe we should ask the question, do any of you have perfect peace in your families? Is it always a peaceful place, or is there some turmoil that's happening from time to time? A few observations I'd like you to think about. I think this is something that I've been observing over time and pondering. If you think about it, people are always changing, some for the better and some not so. Hopefully that we are maturing in Christ and we're growing in Christ. And we can say that we're not who we were 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago. But that we are improving and we're growing in age and maturity, both in a sense of spiritually. But we don't always mature at the same rate. And not everybody is changing for the better. And these dynamics, these changes bring different dynamics into relationships. When we interact with people, these changes are going to change the dynamics of how we relate to one another. We think about sometimes in the church, and we see this here, there's influences that sweep in through the church. There's clothing styles, there's ways of worship styles, there's hairstyles, all kinds of things. And these sometimes can lend to stressful conflicts. Sometimes where somebody is influenced and an idea is presented and some people buy into it, others stand against it and resist it. And these things end up having a bit of tension that ensues in the body. I think all of us would agree that we do not like these. We would rather just have the peace. We'd rather have things settled. There are people that really enjoy change. It's like we've done this for a year or two. Let's change and let's do something different. There's other of us that it's like, I'm fine. Let's just keep doing what we've always done. And these two things can bring... These two individuals, those that like change and those that like to stay put, this can bring tension. They can, oftentimes in marriage, and just any relationship, you can have an individual that is very much structured and another one that continually needs change to have some life and vitality in life. I think about times when we're called by God to serve Him in a particular way, or maybe called to go out into a different area of ministry. Someone else that thinks it's not right, they'll voice their disapproval. I know of times where missionaries have been called, since the call, to go out and serve in a particular area. And maybe just the thought of losing family or losing someone near to them, there was an attempt to try to stop this or an attempt to try to stall and a voice of opinion. And so these things can cause... Sometimes the call of God upon a person's life can cause turmoil in a family. There are times when we're called to a higher standard. We recognize that God is convicting us of a certain area, and when we take a stand that we will not budge on an area, Some will balk and complain. As we say, is peace possible but for a moment? I want to consider here point number two, the peace with God. This is a key point in the Christian life, something we need to think about. Again, Jesus said here in John 16:33, that in me ye might have peace. In doing a word search for peace, the book of Leviticus had many verses containing the peace offering. And we see early on in the accounts of the Old Testament that sin separated man from God, or God from man. Sin had caused a great barrier, a great gulf between God and man. And there were sacrifices, there was offerings, the atonement needed to be made. It was necessary to bring peace between God and man. In Hebrews chapter 10, the writer there of Hebrews writes what Jesus has done for us. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 3, he writes, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, and that he may establish the second. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, meaning Jesus Christ, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Jesus Christ was that atoning sacrifice which we know, and he brought peace between God and man, if we're willing to find that peace with him. Jesus Christ completed the work. And now we can have peace with God. He restores our relationships with him. Reconciliation and peace in our hearts is found through Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those of them that preach the gospel of peace." The gospel has brought peace to our lives, peace between us and God. So we have peace with God, salvation, a reconciled life to God. But how do we as believers live out the fruit of the Spirit of peace in our lives? What is this going to look like to have peace reigning and ruling in our hearts? This peace of the Spirit in my life, is it dependent on the circumstances that are happening around me? Is this determined by the harmony and the brotherhood? When there's conflict in our midst, does that mean I cannot have peace? When conflict is arising, is it possible for me to maintain the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of peace? Paul writes in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Be careful or be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Back in John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That peace that Jesus gives is something that has to be separated from the world. It's something that the world cannot offer. It's something that we can have, try to attempt to have peace with one another, but true lasting peace is something that comes from the Lord and from the working of the Spirit in us. I find too often we drop the fruit of peace when things are not going well. We jump in and we actually stir up strife instead of resting in the peace of God. Our peace is possible when we do not depend on our circumstances around us. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that tribulation was coming towards him. And I've written here, I believe Paul was at peace with going to certain tribulation. As he was traveling, he knew what was coming, and yet there was peace that rolled in his heart because his rest was in the Lord. Why do we struggle with keeping peace in our lives? Is it possible we're looking for it in the wrong place? Isaiah 26, verse 3, a favorite of mine, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. When our focus is on the Lord, our peace is in him. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's the peace of God that will reign and rule in our lives. We're going to have tribulation. We're going to have conflict. But Jesus said, I give you peace. We know that throughout the New Testament, there was much conflict. Many good things were happening in the church. There was a great evangelism work that was happening, people being saved, churches were growing, and yet much conflict ensued. There was tribulation, there was trials within the church, and there was persecution from without. Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The verse that came across the other day in Psalms 138, verse 7, the first part says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. That word trouble is actually turmoil. The idea that there's turmoil all around me. And the writer says, though I walk in the midst of that turmoil, thou will revive me. You see, Jesus is our source for peace and rest. I've written here, I cannot offer you peace. The church cannot offer you peace. But Jesus came not only to save us, but to give us a peace that supersedes or surpasses our understanding or our imagination. A peace that can transcend or go beyond what our minds can really fathom. I'd like for you to develop in your mind an idea of having tranquility in your life, to having that perfect peace surrounding you, that when a conflict arises that you don't have to get worked up and anxious, you don't have to feel like you need to argue and you need to attack, but rather that you can have peace and rest in the Lord and allow him to guide you through it. Even though you walk through the midst of turmoil, that will revive me. That will revive you. The Lord will walk with you through that. The third point when I look at it is be intentional for peace. This is a responsibility that you and I have. In our marriages, we have the times of conflict. I think we're normal in our lives, in our marriage. But we are committed to work it out, to admit our failures, to forgive, and to work to maintain that harmony or that peace in our relationship. It's something that it has to be intentional, something that we work at. You don't need to go far. Maybe just look around in the church and you're going to find somebody you disagree with on a certain topic. We don't need to go far out into our family sometimes, into our close friends. I think about some of my closest friends. We've all gone some different directions. And if we were to get together and try to do church together, it would probably be very difficult, because we would have varied opinions on how to do things. Proverbs 12:20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. To those that desire peace and those that work towards peace, there is joy. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Paul writes, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. And again, in Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. These verses are familiar to us, but how do we apply them or put them in practice? How do we actually live this out? Five things written out here. First is, it takes intentional effort. It takes an intentionality that we must take the first step. Not giving up or not being discouraged. Sometimes when things are not going well, we get weary, we get tired. Sometimes it's just easier to walk away or to run from our problems. But there's some times where we need to look at the end goal and not give up, not be discouraged, but allow the Lord to strengthen us and empower us to walk through these things. There are many scriptures that instruct us in the areas of forgiveness, of love, loving one another, being kind and long-suffering. These are not easy as well, but it's something that we must be intentional about doing. And if we want to have peace among each other, having forgiveness, having a love, being kind, being long-suffering, being gracious towards one another, these things are having that spirit of humility upon us. These things go a long way in maintaining and working towards peace. The second thing we want to think about there is don't expect perfection from other people. Everybody has their shortcomings, just like I do. Hopefully we each are growing in our walk with Christ and in Christ's likeness. But again, we are all at different spiritual maturity levels, and don't expect everybody to be where you're at. And don't expect everybody to be perfect. Eunice and I will say different times, jokingly, it's, I think with some sarcasm, some humor, we say, well, it's really hard to be perfect. It's kind of like, we know we're not perfect, but we try, and it's really hard. The third thing we want to think about is don't expect people to think like you. What was very helpful for me is to realize again that my mind is finite. God's mind, we don't have the mind of God, the infinite God who knows all things and understands all things. We don't have that mind. And so my mind is very limited. I have very limited knowledge. And if we take the time and listen, we can learn a lot from other people. If we listen closely, we will begin to hear things that we never thought of, to hear a perspective that we cannot see. Something we can do is edify others in their walk with Christ. I think about this as we interact with other proclaimed professing Christians there in Maine, as we interact with different customers. We realize they may not see things as we do, but one thing we can do is encourage them in their walk with Christ. We can point them to Scripture. We can encourage them in their journey with Christ. There's some times where when we don't like something, we can react in a way where we cause more damage, where we can cause more turmoil. Sometimes our reactions are actually causing more trauma or more upheaval. The fourth thing there listed is peace takes wisdom. It takes patience, love, humility, and the presence of God in our lives. Peace is something that begins with us. It is having the peace of Christ in our lives. It is the peace of the working of Christ in our lives, bringing us to that place of having that patience, to having that love, to having that humility. It is the presence of God dwelling within us, where that peace reigns and rolls within us. Brother Dave Wanger was at Sanford this past spring for revival meetings, and something he shared that really spoke. He said, when somebody brings their problems to me, he said, rather than letting them draw me into their problem, he said, I try to draw them into my peace. That was a profound statement of recognizing that sometimes when people come to us with their troubles, and it gets us worked up. It gets us, especially when somebody's talking about somebody else, maybe in the church, and it gets us all worked up. And we've now entered into their trouble. But rather to try to bring them into our peace that Christ has in our lives. Fifth thing I want you to think about is perfect harmony is not possible to maintain in church, so therefore don't expect it. Expect some trials and conflict. I'm not implying that to expect this to be a place of constant turmoil, but recognize that things will change. If you think about this, church is constantly changing with generations. There are people there's babies being born, and there's older folks that are dying. And this church will constantly be changing, and there will be immature people coming along. There will be things happening that are constantly bringing change, or maybe some people that come into the church, that join the church, and they will bring change. These changes will bring some challenges at times. Anticipate that. Not to get all worked up about it, but rather to recognize that change will bring turmoil, will bring some conflict. But rather to rest in the peace of God and be able to work through those things peacefully. When we come expecting peace to be there all the time, we will find ourselves disappointed. But when we come as peacemakers, we will find ourselves blessed in the Lord. Peace, again, is a fruit of the Spirit, both internally and something that we work at with others. The fourth point we want to look at here is we're not home yet. When any of you as a family travel a long distance, do you ever get impatient, irritable, road weary? Especially when there's a lot of traffic, when there's a lot of things you're dealing with, maybe you're tired and you're weary. There's something about being home again, where there's peace, where there's rest, getting back into your own bed again. If you think about it, in our Christian lives, there is a day coming when we will finally be home, where there will be no more conflict, there will be no more struggles, no more tears, and no more heartache. We will have eternal rest and peace in every relationship. Until that day comes, may we not lose sight of our duty to work towards peace. As I think about over this past number of months here, as we interact with different customers, we get to hear people that they're anxious about the upcoming election. They're upset with what they see going on in the world. They recognize that we are living in troubled times. And something that has been very helpful, and share this with customers, is said, just remember, this is not home. And for those that are believers, they get amen to that. They recognize this is not home. And there's something very comforting with that, and we can share with one another. When there's unrest, when there's turmoil, just remember, we're not home yet. We still have a journey to travel. There's still some miles ahead, but there's a comfortable pillow waiting for us, a place where we can lay our head down and rest. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul writes verses 17 and 18, some familiar verses there. Some perspective: for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. What we deal with here are very temporal. The conflicts that we have here are just for a time. For those of us, remember that in our teenage years, we were 15, we just could not wait for 16. That took a long time to get there. When we were 16, we were longing for graduation. 2 more years of high school, that's a long time. As we get older, what is time? It goes by very quickly. Sometimes where it seems like life is going faster and faster, and yet when I talk to my parents, they say, you have no idea, life goes much faster the older you get. One person explained it, life is a lot like a toilet paper roll. You're pulling off the same rate, but it's spinning faster and faster as the closer you get to the end. In our lives, as we get closer to the end, remember that God is at work. He's still working in our midst, but we're not home yet. Our rest, our true rest, is coming. But I trust that we can have peace, peace in our hearts that rolls and reigns because of what Christ has done, because of the peace that he brought between us and God. We can have that tranquility in our lives. We can have that rest wrapped around us, that when problems come against us, we can trust in the Lord. That we can say, when we walk through turmoil, when we walk through trouble, he will revive us, he will strengthen us, and he will carry us through. Again, Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In conclusion, do you have peace in your life? And most importantly, peace with God? Are there areas in our lives that we need to work towards peace? In your marriage, in your children, maybe a parent, church family, those around you. Is that something that you need to work on? I trust that this message speaks to your heart, challenges you to draw closer to Christ and to find your rest and your peace in him, and then to be intentional working towards peace in another. May God help us in these areas.